We need to destroy ISIL, yes, but the Prime Minister has no plan. By Owen Smith, www.newstatesman.com, December 1st, 2015. We need to destroy ISIL, yes, but the Prime Minister has no plan. And so, until there is a better plan on the table, I will vote against bombing Syria, says Owen Smith. There are no decisions we make as MPs more important than whether we commit our country to combat, with its inevitable loss of military and civilian lives. This is a view shared by MPs of all parties in the House of Commons, who treat their responsibilities on this question with the utmost seriousness. I have no doubt, therefore, that the Prime Minister and all those who have concluded that we should enter more fully into combat in Syria, starting with the bombing of ISIL-Daesh stronghold Raqqa, have done so after careful consideration, believing that this action is necessary to protect the security of the UK through defeating ISIL and bringing stability to Syria. However, I respectfully disagree with them, and I will not be supporting the motion to bomb based on the arguments put forward by the Prime Minister last week. My position is not rooted in pacifism. It is hard-headed and finely balanced judgment based on what I think the likely strategic, security and military effects of involvement are. The Prime Minister is right to set out objectives to defeat ISIL and the formation of a stable, inclusive government in Syria. These are aims that we should all share, and at some point the use of British military force may well be required to achieve that outcome. I might well support military action if a comprehensive and serious plan were put to Parliament by the Prime Minister. However, the case that Cameron currently proposes singularly fails to explain to the country how bombing will achieve his twin objectives. In fact, he's equally hazy on both the end state he desires and the end game to deliver it, and even on the question of military action. It's the opposition's job to point to holes in the government's argument. Though I, like most MPs, am no military expert, I have studied these issues with great care. And along with many military and diplomatic experts, I cannot see that Britain adding around 10% extra bombing capacity to the US, French and other forces' capability is likely to make a truly telling contribution to what we can all agree should be an agreed military objective, degrading and defeating ISIL. Especially given that there have already been around 3,000 airstrikes against ISIL in Syria. I'm sceptical that our weaponry is significantly more effective than that of the US, however excellent our personnel. I'm also sceptical that bombing can avoid civilian casualties, and am wholly unconvinced that bombing, without significant, committed, united and effective ground troops to hold and build on the territory cleared by the bombs, will deliver the objective. It may not even be enough to chase ISIL out of their stronghold in Raqqa. If the Prime Minister has been able to build a coalition of support from neighbouring countries of Turkey, Jordan, Iraq and others, willing to commit troops on the ground and take the ground cleared by airstrikes, then the equation would be very different. However, the current coalition is incomplete and the ground troops insufficient. Cameron has talked of there being perhaps 70,000 men under arms in opposition to ISIL and ready to engage on the ground. But this does seem to me, as to many others, to be an optimistic assessment. Evidently, some of the anti-ISIL and anti-Assad forces can be effective, as the Kurdish militias, the YPG, showed in driving back ISIL forces from the northern town of Kobani last year under the cover of US planes. But these successful movements of defence have been few and far between and have mostly either involved these northern, Rojava, Kurdish fighters or their ethnic countrymen from Iraq, the US-trained Peshmerga. Neither group is in close proximity to Raqqa and both see their primary objective as securing a Kurdish homeland in Syria, Iraq and Turkey. Other groups, some suggest as many as 100, are fighting across the region, but have a wide variety of allegiances and aims, tribal and religious, including two powerful groups that are offshoots of Al-Qaeda. So it seems clear that Prime Minister's current proposal offers no realistic prospect of ground forces securing territory in and around Raqqa, which will ultimately be necessary to effectively neutralise the ISIL threat, both regionally and internationally. Nor is it clear to me what Cameron hopes Bashar al-Assad will do in the event of increased bombing of ISIL. Assad is currently fighting on several fronts, against ISIL, against the Kurds, and against other groupings. Some of them, the moderates, the PM hopes will help. It remains uncertain as to whether Assad will view the bombing as an opportunity to intensify his fight with ISIL, or to crush the moderates whose main goal is to depose him. Perhaps more important a reason to oppose this action than the apparent holes in the military strategy is the lack of a plan for what comes after. The current situation on the ground provides scant hope for a peaceful and inclusive government to emerge, even in the event of ISIL being eradicated. Far more likely is the continuation of pre-existing conflicts and the emergence of new crisis from the rubble of Raqqa. British bombs might hasten the end of this phase of the conflict, if supported by a real and reliable land army, but it's only diplomatic, financial and crucially regional political pressure that stands a chance of any form of stability. Maybe these questions would shrink in size if I truly felt our security at home would be increased by bombing ISIL in Syria, but I do not. ISIL is a terrorist organisation, but it is also an insurgent army, an idea and a brand. Its monstrous reach out of Syria, to Paris most tragically, but potentially to any of our towns and cities, may well be in planning, arming and instigating. And I'm sure that the security services could draw evil concrete connections between Raqqa and Bataclan. But ISIL's reach and its strength is intangible too, in its propaganda and cultural call to arms. The only way we can be sure of defeating the ISIL threat to our streets and in the region is to find a long-term political solution in Syria. Unfortunately, in my judgment, the proposals put in front of us to vote on this week do not offer that potential. The prime route to ensuring that ISIL's capacity to threaten Western Europe is destroyed is to build upon the recent peace talks in Vienna, with the aim of constructing a concerted international strategy on defeating ISIL. For this to be successful, global and regional partners must play a central part in the strategy, showing that the world is united in opposition to the poisonous ideology of ISIL. And Arab nations, with Sunni majorities, must be in the vanguard of both peace talks and any military action. Finally, I repeat that these are judgments, not facts, and I will well be proved wrong, but I reach my conclusion as an internationalist, a European, and someone who loves France and the French people. Their call for us to join them in this is, for this MP, by far the most compelling to step up our engagement to actual combat at their side. But it is neither unpatriotic nor cowardly for us not to do so. The UN resolution and NATO treaty invoked by France call on us to engage in such action as it, the individual member states or NATO as a whole, deems necessary, including the use of armed force. That tells me that any action our government undertakes, including bombing, will be legal. But it does not tell me whether it will be strategic and wise, politically or militarily. And just as we cannot outsource our defence to our allies in the US or France, nor too can we outsource our judgment.